got it now.
There you go.
Okay, this morning we're going to study about a family. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Okay, you know, as with any family, there's individuals in the family. Each individual has their own personality. These personalities together is what makes up the family. Now, as you look up, you look out at the world, and you're going to see families of just about every kind you can think of. You're going to see some that you're going to look out and say, you got to be kidding me. This can't be real. You're going to have some families that seem to have a good life. You're going to seem to have some families that you actually feel sorry for. But in every one of those families, if you look hard enough, you're going to find a little bit of humor. Things that they do are going to make you laugh. And there's no difference here when we get into 1 Samuel with this family. There are some people in here that, well, there's one in here that's actually pretty good, and there's one that ain't got a clue. And there's one that should have never been in the family. We're going to look at every one of these individuals and see what's going on. Now, at this time, Israel didn't have a political or really a spiritual leader. They went to the temple at Shiloh to praise God, or supposedly praise God. But the temple worship wasn't even what it was supposed to be. People were kind of doing their own thing. You know, we said this morning in Sunday school in Timothy where it says, people had a form of godliness, yet denied his power. That was happening clear back here. It's still happening today. So let's kind of take a look at this family. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and boy, I'm not too good with these names. I'm just glad we don't have them now. It said there was a certain man from Ramath, Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, and it goes on and on. And it said, you know, because these names are getting tougher. And it said he had two wives. Well, we got to stop right here. We got to stop right here and clear something up. He had two wives. God never said that was okay. Not ever did God say having two wives was okay. Marriage is between one man, one woman, for them to be brought together in marriage, and then for them to praise him, be faithful to him, and be faithful to each other. The problem here was that at the time, there was a custom that wasn't, God didn't condone it, but they had a custom. Well, aren't you glad that we don't have any customs in our country today to go against God's word? Well, I'm glad we got over that, huh? So, he had two wives. Now, a couple things. One, he's already going against God's word. Okay. Two, any man that goes against God's word, chooses to live by worldly standards, by custom, you have given up your ability to be the spiritual leader in your house. It cannot happen. You cannot serve the world and you cannot serve God at the same time. So, Elkanah, he has a choice to make. He knows that God never condoned the second way. He knows that. I mean, it's been in the scriptures from the garden, you know, from the Garden of Eden. He knows what God's word says. He got to make a choice. He can either abide by God's word or this custom thing. It don't sound too bad. So he chooses to live by custom. He goes out and finds himself another wife. So, it said, you know, he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, I'm sure she just didn't show up one day and they lived happily ever after. I don't think that's what happened. There's not a lot recorded in here about what Hannah said. And she probably didn't say too much because at the time, the man ruled. The woman didn't really have that much to say. So, I wonder how this happened. I mean, let's just stop and think a minute. I would imagine that Elkanah had some conversation with Hannah. Hannah was his first wife. He loved Hannah. I mean, it goes on to say later on. So he probably came home one day and said, you know, we've been married a long time, and you know I love you. You know I love you. But we've been wanting to have children for a long time. But we're just unable to have children. And you know, children would make me so happy, especially sons. And I think you would make a very good mother. I really do. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring another woman into her house. I'm going to marry her. And I'm going to have children with her. Now, it doesn't say Hannah said anything, but just because a woman's not saying nothing does not mean she's not thinking. So she's probably thinking, ain't that a swell idea? So he goes ahead and he brings this woman into his house, and they have children. Now, I'm not sure, did she have any children before or later after him? I'm not sure, but anyway, he had children. It said, now this man would go up from the city yearly to worship and sacrifice of the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. Now, it seems funny that, because these guys will be mentioned later, why would he mention them now? Well, they were the sons of Eli, who happened to be the priest. They were supposedly taking on the priesthood in the temple. They were supposedly being trained up. They were supposed to be helped. But as we read later on, these were not godly men. Even though the priest was their father, they were not godly men. And you know, we find that today. Because every man that you see standing in a pulpit is not a man of God. Because it tells us in the end times there's going to be false prophets, there's going to be people are going to gather themselves, preachers they want to hear. So it takes more than standing in a pulpit to be a man of God. Well, unfortunately, these two guys fit that description. They were making a mockery out of the sacrifice to the Lord. And God will deal with them later. So they went up every year to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Manoah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had closed her womb. Now this was I would think that this would be a strange arrangement. You're married to two women. You tell one you love her, and you have children with the other one. Somehow, you know, I can't think like a woman, but somehow to me it just doesn't seem like it sits that well. I can't imagine a woman being happy with that. So, you know, he brings before he had a little closer womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. Now, this other woman, his Peninnah, that he brought into his house. Does anybody here ever feel like that there's somebody in your life, whether in the past or even now, that the sole reason they were born was to make you miserable? Now, you married couples, please don't look at your spouse. But it seemed like this Peninnah, she was just, you know, she had the personality of a wildcat. I think her sole purpose every morning when she got up was to make Hannah more miserable than she did the day before. And obviously she was pretty good at it. It provoked her so much that she would lose her. Have you ever had somebody just irritate you so bad you can't even eat? You can't sleep, you can't eat. You just can't get rid of that person. They're just in your head all the time. And besides that, this was worse. She was part of the family. She was part of the family. So now, obviously, Elkanah here saw there was a problem. It was a problem. He looked over, it was time to eat, but Hannah wasn't eating. And he's thinking, That's just not the happy-go-lucky hand I married. What happened? What happened? So, of course, being a man, he's going to solve this problem. He got it all figured out. He's going to make Hannah happy. He's going to reassure her how much he loves her. He goes over and he reminds her, you know, he's brought another woman. Oh, he didn't. But he's brought another woman to the house. He's had children with her. Her goal is just to make Hannah as miserable as she possibly can, and she's good at all that stuff. But then, Helgen reminds her, whenever it's mealtime, don't I always give you more than I give Penina? You know, you ladies, just for a second, put yourself in Hannah's position. Your husband brings a woman home. He loves you, but he loves you. He really does, because he told you he does. Brings another woman who has relations with her. She makes your life miserable all the time. But when it comes mealtime, he reassures you how much he loves you. You know why? One of you, although before the wife went to heaven sometime, I wish I didn't, but that seems really real. How will I see a showing of hands of any woman in here that would be just so happy if her husband brought another woman in the house, had children with her, this other woman was, you couldn't hardly live with, but at mealtime, he gave you more than her. How many women would just be tickled pink? Jim, how about take a hand count? How many hands do you see, Jim? Jeez.
Nobody's responding.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that's pretty much how Hannah felt, too. Okay, now I have another question for the women. Okay? Whenever there's something burning your heart, when something is really on your heart, and your husband tries to come to the rescue, how many women in here think at times, now they have good husbands. I'm not talking about somebody like Alec in here. You got a good husband. But at times, how many women think, he ain't got a clue? Can I see a showing of hands for that? But I think so many times, something will be burning a woman's heart. This should be quite obvious. But to us guys sometimes, sometimes you give us too much credit. We're a lot dumber than what you think. So here's his family. Don't that sound like a family you would want to live in? Boy, I'd just like to have me one of them. In the midst of this, Hannah, the one who, what I believe, had to be the spiritual leader alone. You know, with these children, who do you think taught those kids about the Lord? You got to believe it couldn't have been Elkanah, because he chose the worldly ways over God's ways. You have to believe it couldn't have been Penina, because she was just a miserable person who spent her life making Hannah miserable. You have to believe it was Hannah. Because, what's the thing about her? There's nothing in here said that she ever went to the Lord, how about get Hannah or Penina off my back? How about let me get even with her? Nothing. I believe, there's some things in here it's not said. I believe when Hannah prayed, she probably even prayed for Penina. She probably prayed for her husband to get some sense, and she probably prayed for Penina to just not be the way she was. And then it comes here to where it says, then Hannah rose after eating and drinking Shiloh. Now, Eli the priest was sitting on his seated by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was greatly distressed, and I'm pretty sure all of us can see why this woman was greatly distressed. Her life, her home life, was just absolutely miserable. So it would be easy to see why she was distressed. And she greatly distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said to the Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come upon his head. Now, even in the midst of this distress that she's in, she was not a very happy person. I believe, with all my heart, this was a fervent prayer. And there's a difference with the United Bible tells the book of James. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, people don't understand. What is it there between a prayer and a fervent prayer? You know, we have prayer meeting, and I'm sure each one of you pray in your homes. But so many times, they're not fervent. In fact, it's very seldom I would say that they're fervent prayers. We pray for God to heal me. We pray for God to, get me a better job. God, I need some money. So many times, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but we spend so much time asking God to do for us, we neglect to do what Hannah did. Now, she was praying for a son. She wanted a son, and it wasn't only for a selfish reason. She wanted God to use her to bring glory to himself. That's a fervent prayer. Even after all this time that she's going through, all this misery, all this stuff, her heart is on the Lord. Her eyes are dedicated. How easy, when we go through a time, a trial of tribulation. Now, this woman's gone through this for years. How easy is it for us to just become whiny Christians? You know, we go through in our prayer meeting, you listen to the one calls. There's nothing wrong with praying for an illness. There's nothing wrong with praying for another person. There's nothing wrong with that. But how many times over the one call have you ever heard the pastor call and say, this person called me, they're sold out for the Lord, and they're praying we could find a place of service in our church? How many times have you ever heard that one? I've never heard it. How many times after church service has there been overwhelmed with people that want to fill the empty spaces in his church? That don't happen very often. So many times we have our eyes focused on us. We forget the purpose the Lord saved us for. We are to serve him, even in times of distress. Now, she not only dedicated him to, you know what, she didn't say, God, if you give me a son, I'm going to take him to Sunday school every day. I'm going to make sure he goes to church. God, when he's at home, I'm going to make sure he reads scriptures. No, she went much farther than that. She was totally sold out to the Lord. If he would give her a son, not only would she give him back, but he would become a temple priest. She would totally give him the most precious thing that she had would have been a son. And she was willing to give the son back to the Lord. She made a vow with the Lord. And you know, sometimes, unfortunately, I think a lot of times, we as God's people, God, if you just get me through this illness, I will do this. God, if those people in that church would just accept me, I will do this. You know, unfortunately, God opens us opportunities up. When we pray, God will open us an opportunity. What do we do? So many times when the illness is past, when we got a job, when the money is better, when the family is better, we forget what we promised God. We do not keep our vows to God. And it says, we're better off never to make a vow to God than we are to make one and break it. When we go to God, it's for something we want. We will promise him anything, but so many times, we will do nothing. And that's not a shame, that's a sin. And as we go down through here, it said, Hannah replied, no, my Lord. Now, she is praying, and she is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has taken total control of her prayers. This is a fervent prayer. Eli sees her and he rebukes her for being drunk. Eli, even the temple, had so seldom seen somebody in fervent prayer, pouring their heart out to the Lord, he didn't even recognize it. You know, so many times today, if we see somebody that might come down crying or fervently praying for something, we think, what's the matter with you? You know, we don't, even in today's church, we don't even recognize sometimes when the Holy Spirit has a hold of a person. You know, this is not the only time. You remember at Pentecost when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. What? You know, the Pharisee says, he says, you guys drunk or what's going on here? You're not acting like anybody else. And Peter said, drunk? It's 9 o'clock in the morning. No, we're not drunk. But they had witnessed the Holy Spirit taking charge of a person's life. Wouldn't it be nice if we saw more of that today? Wouldn't it be nice if we let the Holy Spirit take more charge of our life today? But we don't. We pray prayers, nothing wrong with the prayers, but we do not pray fervently like Jesus Christ tells us to do. So then Eli answered and said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. She said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. What changed her demeanor? The family was still the same. They couldn't see any way the family was going to change. She went before the Lord, poured her heart out to the Lord, made a solemn vow to the Lord if he would grant her petition, she would give the most precious thing she could have at that time was a son. Give him back to the Lord. Eli, when he realized, he blessed her and he prayed that her petition be. Now, the only thing, as we read this word, that brought joy back in Hannah's life and a smile on her face was the Lord himself. Man couldn't do it. And you have to really look after everything she had been through, after being, her husband didn't seem to, you know, I guess customs were different at that time, but they don't seem to be, because as you look out at this world today, there's a lot of what was going on here going on now. But why are some people go through this world happy, even though you know their circumstances? They're not happy circumstances. And why do some people who should be happy, why are they not happy? Because one person has the Lord and the other person doesn't. That's why. The Lord can bring a smile on your face when no other person can. The Lord can use you in his ministry despite of the circumstances. Now, Hannah's prayer is answered. She went to the Lord before the Lord in fervent prayer. She cried out to the Lord. Her prayer was answered. Now, how effective was his prayer? How effective was his prayer? Her son anointed the first two kings of Israel. Her son brought temple worship back to what it should have been. Her son gave the nation some direction. Why? Because she wouldn't quit praying. She fervently prayed. She prayed for God to use her to bring himself glory. Not only did he do that, he brought himself glory through Hannah. He brought a nation to glory because of a fervent prayer. Sometimes we don't understand how much influence if we pray for people, how much they can have. You know, I'm reminded of a story. It was a woman, she went to church regular, and she asked the pastor, she said, next week, I'm going to bring a woman with me. She said she's probably a middle-aged woman, but she's a hard woman. Life has really taken a toll on her. She said, I've tried talking to her. I just can't get through to her. Said, will you talk to her? He said, I would be happy to talk to her. So the next Sunday, that woman came, and she brought this woman with her. And before the service, they went into pastor's study. And the woman said, listen, before you start, I'm going to tell you something. You're not preaching to me. She said, I've heard all that before, and you're just not preaching to me. And so he had a conversation with her. And she said, "Now, when you get done, I'm leaving. I'm out of here." He said, "Well, would you mind if I pray for you?" She says, "Well, go ahead, but I don't put much stock in that either." He began to pray. And as he prayed, he began to cry. And he prayed and he cried. Finally, he got through the prayer. And he raised his head and he wiped the tears from his eyes. He said, "Well, I guess you could go now." She said, "No, you can preach to me now." He said, "What's the change? What made the difference?" She said, "No man has ever cried for me before." That was a fervent prayer. He poured his heart out to the Lord over that woman. You know, and I'd like to ask this morning as the praise band gets ready to play, is there something on your heart this morning that you would like to go to the Lord in fervent prayer about? Is it maybe you're not serving the way you did? You don't have the joy the way you did. Is there a person that's weighing on your heart? Is there someone this morning that you might be willing to come to the Lord in fervent prayer and maybe even shed a tear over? If that be the case, the altar is open for anyone. So I pray that the message this morning was what the Lord would have him to bring, and I pray that it may have touched a few hearts this morning.
Like a hurricane.